Good morning or good afternoon. My name is Pat Ward. I'm the administrative law judge pursuant to temporary appointment designated by the Office of Administrative Hearings upon the request of the Public Service Commission to serve as the substantive hearing officer for this hearing. This is the hearing on the application of One Oak Rockies Midstream LLC for a certificate of site compatibility and waiver of procedures to authorize construction for a natural gas processing plant near Watford City, McKenzie County, North Dakota, which is identified and known as the Garden Creek 2 Gas Processing Plant. This is North Dakota Public Service Commission case number PU-12-656. The record will show that it is 1:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, December 11, 2012, at the Watford City Civic Center, Watford City, North Dakota, the time, date, and place set by the notice of filing and notice of hearing issued by ALJ Ward and the North Dakota Public Service Commission, October 26, 2012, in case number PU-12-656. On September 17, 2012, One Oak filed an application for a waiver of procedures and time schedules and for a certificate of site compatibility, all as I have previously recited and as is set forth in the notice of filing and notice of hearing and shown by the map, which is part of the notice, and which has all been duly noticed and published in accordance with the requirements of statute and the commission's rules. The notice of filing and notice of hearing for this hearing specified the following issues to be considered and determined upon this hearing. The issues to be considered in One Oak's application for waiver of procedures and time schedules is: one, are the proposed facilities of such length, design, location, or purpose that they will produce minimal adverse effects and that adherence to applicable procedures and time schedules may be waived? And two, is it appropriate for the commission to waive any procedures and time schedules as requested in the application? The issues to be considered in One Oak's applications for certificate of compatibility: will the location, construction, and operation of proposed facilities produce minimal adverse effects on the environment and upon the welfare of the citizens of North Dakota? Are the proposed facilities compatible with the environmental preservation and efficient use of resources? And three, will the proposed facility location minimize adverse human and environmental impact while ensuring continuing reliability and integrity, ensuring that energy needs are met and fulfilled in an orderly and timely fashion? Mr. Morrison, please state your appearance for the record.
Thank you, Judge Ward. John Morrison, Crowley Fleck, appearing on behalf of One Oak Rockies Midstream LLC.
And Mr. Armstrong, please state your appearance.
Mitch Armstrong, Special Assistant Attorney General on behalf of the Public Service Commission. With me is Public Utility Analyst Pat Fawn. I move Mr. Fawn be allowed to ask questions today.
Mr. Morrison, any objection? Okay. Permission granted. If there is anyone else present other than witnesses for One Oak or the Commission who will or may testify or comment concerning this matter, we will do that upon the completion of One Oak's presentation. I've surveyed the room, and at this point, it doesn't appear that there is anyone that would intend to testify. I asked Mr. Quist, who's here, and Mr. Quist doesn't intend to testify. Is that correct? Okay. If for some reason you change your mind and you want to make some kind of a comment on the record or whatever, we can arrange for that when the time comes. Mr. Morrison, you may proceed.
Thank you. Before we begin, we have pre-marked four exhibits we intend to offer, and I've talked to Mr. Armstrong. I think we've stipulated to the admissibility of those exhibits, and so I would offer them at this time. There, Exhibit 1 is a copy of the application. Exhibit 2 is a copy of a revised plot plan, which is included in the application, but it's some revisions, and our first witness will explain what those revisions are. And copies of that were filed with the Public Service Commission last week. Exhibit 3 is an executed copy of the certification, including the tree and shrub stipulations that was requested by the Public Service Commission staff. And Exhibit 4 is a November 14th, 2012 letter to the Public Service Commission from the Department of Health, which again staff asked be included, and we have no objection, so we would offer those for the record.
Okay. Mr. Armstrong.
No objection.
Okay. Those four exhibits will be received.
Thank you. And then we would call Rusty Clark as our first witness.
Mr. Clark, I am required by law to advise you of the law regarding perjury in this state. Perjury is a false statement under oath of a material fact made by a person who knows or does not believe the statement to be true at the time it is made. Perjury is a Class C felony, A Class C felony is subject to a maximum penalty of 5 years imprisonment, a fine of $5,000, or both may be imposed. Having been advised of the penalty for perjury, please raise your right hand so I can administer the oath. Do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
I do.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Clark.
Would you state your name for the record and give us your business address, please?
Yes. My legal name is Rusty Lee Clark. My business address is 100 West 5th Street, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74102.
And you go by Russ Clark, is that correct?
That's correct.
And can you tell us by whom you're employed and what capacity?
I am employed by One Oak, and I am the project engineer.
And you've previously appeared before the Public Service Commission and testified on a number of siting hearings, is that correct?
That is correct.
And you're also familiar with the subject of today's hearing, the Garden Creek 2 gas plant?
That's correct, yes.
And were you involved in the preparation of the application?
Yes, I was.
For the commission staff, would you just briefly describe the project that we're proposing today, what the plant is?
The plant is a new cryogenic gas processing plant. It will process 100 million standard cubic feet of gas per day. It will be a combination of refrigeration and a turbo expander unit to recover natural gas liquids and condensate.
And physically, the plant will be located adjacent to an existing facility that's already been sited, is that correct?
Yes, the site's adjacent to our Garden Creek 1 facility.
And will this plant be substantively similar to the Garden Creek 1 plant?
It is designed to be a copy of the Garden Creek 1 plant.
So the same size, the same rate of capacity?
Same size, same rate, capacity, compression units, those items.
Does the co-location of the two plants, does that give you some ability to use some common facilities between the plants?
Yes, we use, by co-locating the facilities, we'll be able to use similar rights of way for gathering lines. Also, it also provides us a point to use existing NGL pipelines and residue gas pipelines that were built for the Garden Creek 1 facility. This way we can minimize our impact by having multiple pipelines going multiple locations.
And that'll reduce the overall burden on the surface in North Dakota, is that correct?
That's correct.
Can you describe for the commission why this plant is needed? I mean, in other words, what you're going to do with the plant and why we need to get it constructed?
Sure. The plant, there's a sufficient commercial need for the plant with the current drilling that's going on in the state of North Dakota and expanded drilling projects by our customers and other exploration and production companies. More gas is being produced by associated wells. This associated gas needs to be treated to remove heavier hydrocarbons such as propane, butane from the what we consider natural gas or just a combination of methane and ethane that goes to residential homes for heating. The NGLs would then be recovered and they would be shipped off-site using the current NGL pipeline that's at the Garden Creek 1 facility and provide economic benefit to royalty holders rather than being currently being flared at the wellhead site as it currently is.
The gas that's produced in association with oil, that's known as casing head gas, is that correct?
That's correct.
And is casing head gas generally marketable without being processed first?
It is not marketable. It burns too hot and is inconsistent.
And so without adequate processing capacity, basically the gas has to be flared?
That's correct.
And this plant will help reduce the flaring?
This plant will reduce the flaring that's going on in Williams County, or not Williams County, McKenzie County.
Okay. Different plant.
Yep.
What's the timeline for construction of the plant?
Timeline for the construction, we would like to break ground on April 1st in 2013. We would like to have the plant in service third quarter of 2014.
And can you give us the estimated cost of the facility?
We estimated the cost of the facility to be $160 million.
And can you also describe the construction workforce that will be used for construction activities?
Our construction workforce will mirror the workforce that we had for Garden Creek 1. We typically will have welders, pipe fitters on site. We estimate that our peak construction period will be in 2014, not 2013. And that will employ approximately 250 people at peak construction.
And it will be the contractor's responsibility to provide housing for the construction workers?
Yes, they have taken that responsibility.
But those resources are generally available in the Watford City area now?
Yes, they are.
I don't have any further questions to this witness at this time. We have one additional witness we intend to offer who will address basically the environmental and then cultural and sociological impacts of the plant.
Mr. Armstrong, any questions for Mr. Clark?
Yes. Mr. Clark, as I understand that this plant will be located north of the Garden Creek 1 plant?
That's correct.
And is it a standalone plant or does it somehow...
The Garden Creek 2 plant will share a common outlet with the existing Garden Creek NGL line, but we will have we're going to install a new residue gas line, leaving the property to the south of this. But that will be co-located with the existing residue gas pipeline.
Will the Garden Creek 1 plant continue operation during construction?
Yes.
Have you had any problems with the local community or local residents with the Garden Creek 1 plant?
Not to my knowledge.
Have you had any objections from, you know, either local government, citizens, with respect to the addition of the Garden Creek 2 plant?
Not to my knowledge.
Have you had any public meetings or anything like that to seek input?
For Garden Creek 2? Specifically, no. But we did have a number of meetings about Garden Creek 1.
Was there any concerns raised in those meetings for Garden Creek 1?
No.
Have you done any, and this may, if I ask you a question that doesn't apply to you, you know, if it's another witness, let me know, but are you comfortable there are enough emergency services if there were to be some sort of accident at the plant to take care of it?
Yes, but I think that our area director may be able to better answer some of those questions.
And that is Mr. Vandenbach, who's in the room, and we can certainly call him as an additional witness.
Well, is there, you know, how many people are going to be on site at Garden Creek 2 on a given day when it's operating?
Oh, when it's operating? Let's see. About six, seven people for just Garden Creek 2. That would be a couple of operators, plus a mechanic, an electrician.
And I'm assuming then that the plant would rely on local emergency responders if there were an issue at the plant?
Yes. Again, Mr. Vandenbosch might be able to better answer some of those types of questions.
I'll turn it over to Mr. Fahn.
Is this mic working?
Yep.
Okay. The latest plot plan that was filed, do you
have
a copy of that?
Yes, I can take a look at that.
I noticed in several spots it talks about a corridor for pipelines.
Yes, and that's correct.
And you talked about several pipelines that are going to be used either in common or individually by by Garden Creek 1 and 2?
The gathering lines will probably be co-located within the corridors, but we'll have some separate gathering lines for Garden Creek 2.
Okay, so could you tell us in the corridors that are shown on the site maps, mm-hmm. which pipelines will be in those corridors?
The gathering lines will largely be on the piping corridor that is to the east of the facility. That's a 100-foot corridor that runs down the property line, or down the eastern boundary of the property line along, I believe that's 121st Avenue. I think it's Avenue. And the gathering line entrance into Garden Creek 1 is labeled as Underground Piping Corridor One Oak and leads to some pig receivers just outside of Garden Creek 1. And then the Garden Creek 2 gathering lines will follow the property boundary between the two facilities and enter into the pipeline receiver for Garden Creek 2.
Okay. On the eastern boundary, the north-south corridor?
Yes.
Do we have pipelines coming from both directions here or all the way through? Or?
I am not entirely familiar with the locations within the pipeline, but within the pipeline corridors. Mr. Vandenbush might be able to expand on that.
Okay. I think the application talks about a line connection with Wilson Basin?
Yes. That'll be for our residue outlet.
And is that corridor shown on the map?
That corridor is not shown on the map. However, the skid location for the meter skid location for Garden Creek 1 is shown in the lower right, lower left-hand corner, the southwest boundary of the property. And it's there in bubbles there for a WB. It just says WBI meter in very small type.
How small is that type?
It's pretty small. Okay. And so the next WBI meter for Garden Creek 2 would be located right next to that meter. And those pipelines run directly south off the property.
You see it? Oh, boy, okay.
Yep.
Okay. Just to confirm that the, I guess this might be a question for witness McCarthy, but the study, the area that was surveyed was the 80 acre plot.
Was the 80 acres to the north of Garden Creek 1, yes.
That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Clark, I have a couple questions I wanted to ask you.
Okay.
The casing head gas, it comes into the plant, and then the plant separates out the gas that can be sold, and then you talked about the residue gases and a residue gas line. Mm-hmm. What happens? Are the residue gases resold? Are they separated out and resold, or what happens to those?
Okay, I'll expand on that and clarify my previous statement. The casing head gas enters the facility, and what will happen is with entrain liquids. So the entrain liquids will be sent to a stabilizer unit, basically where we boil off lighter gases. The condensate or stabilized gasoline that has a Reed vapor point pressure below atmospheric, so that's typically a 12 or 13 pound vapor pressure product, and that is trucked out. The those gases are then sent through a dehydrator to remove the water, and then we chill them and cool them so that we condense heavy hydrocarbons that are in the gas. So these, when we talk about heavy hydrocarbons in this case, this is typically propane, butane, isobutane, pentanes. And those combine, we take that mixture, we make a what's considered a Y grade or a field grade NGL product, and that is shipped out by the NGL pipeline. The ethane and methane then make up the residue gas and are sent out through the residue gas pipeline with WBI.
All right. Mr. Morrison, any follow-up questions?
Just a couple follow-up. Just to make clear, the residue gas is what's commonly referred to as natural gas. It was used for industrial or residential uses, right?
Yes, that's correct. That's the type of thing that you would burn in a furnace in a house.
One thing we forgot to cover, Exhibit 3 is the certification, and that was signed by a Brian...
Oh, that was signed by Brian Bolter. He is the Vice President for Construction Projects.
And so Mr. Bolter has the authority to bind the company, is that correct?
That is correct.
And with respect to the revised plot plan that we just discussed, why don't you also tell us very generally the reason for changing some of the layout in recent times and why there was a change from the originally filed plot plan to this one?
Sure. The change from the originally filed plot plan to the current plot plan was to free up additional room on the property. This would be so that if economic conditions warrant and we feel that a project would be viable, we may build another facility on the site.
And if that were to occur, we would seek the appropriate approvals from the commission for that facility at that time.
That's correct.
Without no further questions.
Mr. Armstrong.
Nothing further.
Mr. Phan.
Did the map identify the NGL pipeline or the residue gas pipeline or a corridor for those?
The NGL pipeline, the meter skid is identified on the plot plan, and that would be the that would be our delivery point into the pipeline. It's labeled as meter skid by One Oak. Look at the north 800 foot line and the east 1,000 foot line. And that would be the NGL meter skid. The piping corridor is not marked on the plot plan. However, that piping does basically run due west of the property and leaves the property, I believe, at the property boundary or close to the property boundary between the two sites.
And the the residue gas?
The residue gas would be in north 100 line, about the and the east 300 line. And then that pipeline would leave to the south.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Morrison, anything further for this witness?
Nothing further, Your Honor.
Mr. Clark, you may step down.
And Bill? And William McCarthy will be our second witness.
Mr. McCarthy, you were here when I gave the admonition regarding perjury. Just a reminder, the perjury is a Class C felony. A Class C felony is subject to a maximum penalty of 5 years imprisonment, a fine of $5,000, or both may be imposed. Having been advised of the penalty for perjury, please raise your right hand so I can administer the oath. Do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
I do.
Thank you.
Bill, would you state your name and give us your business address for the record?
My name is William Francis McCarthy, and I'm employed by E3 Environmental. The address is 871 Jefferson Avenue, St. Paul, Minnesota, 55102.
And in what capacity are you employed by E3?
I'm the president, owner, and senior compliance specialist.
And you were primarily responsible for preparation of the application for the certificate of site compatibility that we're discussing today, is that correct?
That is correct.
And you previously prepared similar applications and testified as an expert before the Public Service Commission, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And you're familiar with the materials that are included in the application?
Yes, sir.
To begin with, can you describe the process that you went through to define the study area and the area that you looked at for all of the exclusion avoidance areas that the commission considers?
Yes, sir. Once the client, in this case One Oak, identifies a project area, we then undergo a desktop analysis of the area to assess the siting criteria. And that involves various public sources of data. National Wetlands Inventory, topographic maps, and the likes. And as we conclude our desktop analysis, we then augment those efforts with further surveys and consultations as necessary with the various agencies with responsibilities for oversight.
And is that study limited to the 80 acres, or did you look at a larger study area in addition?
We actually look at a what we defined as a study area, which is a one-half mile perimeter, one-half mile radius perimeter around the targeted project area. And then additional field studies are done of the 80-acre plot, which involve actual boots-on-the-ground studies.
Let's talk first about the consultations. Can you tell us what agencies you initiated consultations with?
Yes, sir. We conducted consultation with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the U.S. Farm Service Agency, North Dakota Department of Fish and Game, North Dakota Parks and Recs Department, North Dakota State Historic Preservation Office, North Dakota State Lands Department. Those are the agencies that we consulted with.
And did any of those agencies have any concerns with the project that you proposed?
There were no concerns expressed.
Let's talk a little bit about the Historic Preservation Office. Can you describe the cultural resources studies and evaluations that were done?
Yes, sir. With a cultural resource study of a project like this, the first step is to do what's called a Class 1 inventory. The Class 1 inventory is actually a study of the previous records and research done in the area. And that's typically done on a sectional area, so it may encompass an area greater than our study area. Once those studies are done, the idea there is to identify any previous resources that might have been identified within our study area or within our project area that would require some mitigation or management. We then conduct a Class 3 inventory, which is the actual pedestrian survey of the targeted project area, which in this case was the 80-acre plot to be developed.
And were any significant cultural resources identified in the project area, the 80 acres, in either one of these processes?
No, sir. Those that 80-acre area was free and clear of any cultural resources.
And so the consultants prepared a report recommending that there would be no further requirement of cultural resource work. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And did the State Historic Preservation Officer concur with that recommendation?
We did receive a concurrence in that effect.
And you similarly did a study or an evaluation of wildlife in the area, is that correct?
That is correct.
And those results were shared with the Fish and Wildlife Service and the Game and Fish?
No, we did not share our results.
Okay.
Those results have only been submitted to the PSC to satisfy the complete the application. We simply consulted with those agencies that you mentioned, Game and Fish, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and the Parks and Rec Department. And those agencies, based on our consultation, studied the areas, studied their own resources, and concluded a no-effect determination based on the consultation.
And you're familiar with the exclusion areas and avoidance areas that have been established by the Commission for use in siting proceedings?
Yes, sir.
Will this project impact any exclusion areas or avoidance areas?
No, sir.
Bill, in your opinion, will the location, construction, operation of the Garden Creek 2 gas plant produce minimal adverse effects on the environment and upon the welfare of the citizens of North Dakota?
Yes, sir.
And is the gas plant compatible with environmental preservation and the efficient use of resources?
Yes, sir.
And will the gas plant also minimize adverse human and environmental impact and also ensure continuing system reliability and integrity?
Yes, sir.
And it will help ensure that the energy needs are met and fulfilled in an orderly and timely fashion?
Yes, sir.
I don't have further questions of the witness.
Mr. Armstrong.
Mr. McCartney, I just want to make sure I'm reading this correctly. It looked to me like none of the avoidance areas were within the project site, but there was some woodlands or wetlands within the study area.
That is correct.
Where were those at?
If you turn to the application, Appendix B, and the first map is an aerial photo-based map, and you can see where our study area is delineated by a dashed line. If you look almost due north of the 80-acre plot that would be developed, there is a stream depicted right up near the boundary of our study area. And in those stream areas, those are tend to be woody draws, and so there is a water resource and some woody plants typically associated with those types of features. There would be no impact to that feature due to the construction or operation of the plant.
Am I correct in assuming by looking at the map that pretty much other than the Garden Creek one plant, everything around here is agricultural use?
That's correct.
Will this plant, if it's approved, have any impact on the ability of the surrounding landowners to, or land users or owners to continue farming that property?
It should have no adverse impact that way.
You mentioned the agencies you consulted with and their course, the correspondence all in the application, but did you have any correspondence with either McKenzie County or the Wofford City about the project at all?
No, sir.
Any particular reason why not?
I do not know of a county or a city, a municipal agency that would have a natural resource type interest in a development like this.
So that was more your focus then, was the natural resource evaluation?
Primarily, yes.
I have nothing further.
Mr. Fine, any questions for Mr. McCarthy?
No questions, thank you.
Well, Mr. McCarthy, I just curious, I noticed on the application the address is Vandalia Street in St. Paul, and you testified to I thought I heard a different...
Jefferson Avenue, correct.
Yeah. Is that have you moved locations?
I moved the office location effective October 1st.
Okay. Mr. Morrison, anything else?
No further questions. We would call Mr. Vanderbush just to talk briefly about the emergency services and those issues.
Do you want to take a minute to talk to Mr. Vanderbush, or are you ready to go?
I'll trust him.
Oh, okay. Mr. McCarthy, you're excused.
Thank you.
Mr. Vanderbush, now you're in the hot seat.
Again.
And I'm required by law to advise you regarding perjury in this state. Perjury is a false statement under oath of material fact made by a person who knows or does not believe the statement to be true at the time it is made. Perjury is a Class C felony. Class C felony is subject to a maximum penalty of 5 years imprisonment, a fine of $5,000, or both may be imposed. Having been advised of the penalty for perjury, please raise your right hand so I can administer the oath. Do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
I do.
Thank you.
Dick, would you state your name for the record, and why don't you spell your last name also?
Yes, my full name is Richard J., the initial J., Vandebush, V-A-N-D-E, capital B-O-S-S-C-H-E.
And can you tell us by whom you're employed in what capacity?
I am employed through One Oak Partners, and I am the director of operations for One Oak Rockies Midstream with responsibilities of North Dakota, Montana, and Wyoming.
And can you give us your business address?
Business address is 2700 Lincoln Avenue, Southeast, Sydney, Montana, 59270.
And are you familiar with the emergency services preparedness plan that's in the process of being developed for this particular plant?
Yes, I am.
And can you describe what that plan is and how you intend to provide emergency services that are necessary?
Yes, the emergency preparedness plan for the Garden Creek facilities is really intended to develop a set of procedures and policies to ensure the safety of the employees, the environment, and the public in the event of a variety of potential events that or scenarios that could occur at a facility. The intent then is, once we have finalized the document, is to then have tabletop exercises with the local emergency responders and various agencies within the county on their role in responding to an emergency.
And One Oak operates other processing facilities and pipelines in the area, is that correct?
Yes, we do.
And so these emergency preparedness plans are nothing new to One Oak, and they're things that you use for your other operations?
That is correct.
And in your opinion, will you be able to handle any emergencies that might arise during the operation of this plant?
Yes.
One other question, I don't know the answer on this one either, but are you familiar with any communications that have been had with county or local officials concerning construction of Garden Creek 2?
We have not had any.
With that, I have no further questions.
Mr. Armstrong.
Yes, thank you, Your Honor. Do you have one of these plans in place for Garden Creek 1?
Yes.
Have you had the tabletop discussions with the local authorities? You know,
no, it is. We're going to schedule for probably right after the holidays to have that discussion with them.
I mean, if I know the plan is always never to have anything bad happen at the plant, but what types of accidents can happen, I guess, at a gas plant?
I guess, hypothetically, and what you plan for is if you had a release of contained gas in your facility, you could have a fire, and or you could have an employee injury that would require local services to respond. You could have up and including to earthquakes and things of that nature that you would try to plan for.
As far as emergency response equipment, I mean, is that something you work with the local authorities on to make sure that they have what's needed, or does One Oak have its own response team somewhere?
Our employees are trained to what we call a first responder level, and that's primarily around in the event of a person or a contractor or somebody being injured on our properties. And then from an emergency response standpoint, where you would utilize outside agencies, is really to manage traffic control and to provide services to deal with any injuries that may result. But we would not expect them to go in and perform fire suppression or anything of that nature. The facility is set up from a design standpoint to remotely isolate and control the battery limits, what I call the facilities, and you would allow the in the event of a fire to dissipate itself out, and then at that point then you would as the facility was deemed safe for entry, you would then allow your under the guidance of One Oak and or One Oak Partners would allow the the outside agencies to access the perimeter of the facility. Up until that point in time, they would remain at a designated safe distance away.
So this, the plan, the emergency, I call it emergency response plan, what word do you call it again?
We use that term as well.
Yeah. I mean, does that get put in place before operations start, or is that?
Yes.
So it'd be your intent before operations start to have an emergency response plan in place?
Correct.
I have nothing further.
Mr. Fine, any questions for Mr. Van de Bosch?
Just, I'm curious to know when you have a second gas plant now and potentially a third gas plant, how does the emergency response plan change due to the, you know, the scope?
It really won't change in scope. Again, because the way the facilities are configured with separate safety systems and their proximity to each other, that would be of design where you would, one facility event would not have an impact on the other. So you would really have probably a plan for each facility and then a comprehensive overview of the entire location so that the local emergency response agencies would at least have a general understanding of what is within the 160 acres between the potential three facilities.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Morrison, any follow-up?
No follow-up.
Mr. Van de Bosch, you're excused.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Morrison, anything else for the good of the record?
We have nothing else.
Mr. Armstrong, any witnesses or any exhibits?
No, Your Honor.
Okay, Mr. Fine, anything else?
Nope, thank you.
Okay, closing statements or?
Just very briefly.
Well, before we get to that, let me just call for witnesses from the public. I don't see anyone that's come into the room, but I just want to make sure it's clear on record there's nobody out there. If you do want to get up and say something for the record, raise your hand. Okay, the opportunity's come and gone. Okay, now Mr. Morrison, thank you.
Thank you. You know, we think the application is pretty straightforward, and it's a pretty clean project with no impact on the environment. Unlike a lot of the hearings we've had lately, there's not quite the same time crunch that we've had in the past. Construction is due to begin April 1st. We'd still like to get an order issued in January sometime to give plenty of time to have the pre-construction meeting and those kinds of things that are required. We would certainly be willing to provide a draft order and would be prepared to do that probably within the week.
If you can get that to me within the week, you can probably have your order before the end of the year.
If you can find three public service commissioners before the end of the year.
Mr. Armstrong, anything further for the record?
No.
Mr. Fine?
No, thank you.
Okay. Then I'm ready to close the hearing. The hearing on the application of One Oak, PU 12-656, is closed. The time is approximately 2:11 Central Time. And as far as I know, there won't be any late filed exhibits either, but we're off the record. Thank you all very much.